Yo, what up? 101.1, The Answer, Doc Washburn Show. So the Arkansas Times, the liberal rag that you sometimes see in Little Rock in front of restaurants that nobody actually reads, but they have a lot of advertisers because people like something tangible. They like something they can hold in their hands. The Arkansas Times, the editor of the Arkansas Times, Austin Gelder, who is a big gun control freak. I looked. She doesn't have a Twitter profile, but I looked on Facebook, like back in 2017. She was proudly with a group of folks from Moms Demand Answers at the legislature. So she's got this big article about our Attorney General for the state of Arkansas, Tim Griffin, suing the Biden administration over trying to take away our Second Amendment rights. But in the process, she smears the deceased. She smears the dearly departed executive director of the Little Rock Airport, Brian Malinowski. And I just can't let that go. So you know what we do here. If you ever heard the Doc Washburn Show before. You know, I feel like Albert Pujols standing at the plate in the old days, and the ball looks as big as a watermelon. And I'm going to get all of it by the grace of God. Arkansas Times, new article entitled Arkansas AG Tim Griffin sues to keep gun show loophole open with a nod to Brian Malinowski. And here's what she says. Should we add Arkansas Attorney General Tim Griffin to the list of conservatives trying to canonize the late Brian Malinowski as the martyred patron saint of the Second Amendment? Now, let me just tell you something right off the bat, something I learned in college many years ago. No one gives you information for free. They want you to do something with it. So in the first sentence of the first paragraph of her article in this liberal rag that she's editor of, Austin Gelder is using ad hominem, name-calling, of a man who can no longer defend himself, Brian Malinowski. She says that people like you and me, people concerned about being able to protect and defend our families, are trying to canonize the late Brian Malinowski as the martyred patron saint of the Second Amendment. Now, if you have to use that kind of hyperbole, right off the bat, thinking people come to the conclusion you probably don't have much of an argument, do you? Because obviously, it's hyperbole. And frankly, since Brother Malinowski was born and raised Roman Catholic, it's verging, it's getting awfully close to sacrilege, to making fun of his religion. But I digress. This Arkansas Times article from Austin Gelder says, Griffin gave a nod Wednesday to Malinowski, the former executive director of the Little Rock Airport, as the attorney general announced he's suing the Biden administration over a new federal rule requiring anyone who sells guns for profit to obtain a federal firearms dealer license and conduct background checks on all buyers. Now, I'm wondering, because I've actually read the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. And obviously, Austin Gelder and the staff that she that works for her at the Arkansas Times, they have no use for the Bill of Rights. Not just the Second Amendment, but the other ones. They want an all-powerful government. They don't believe in the idea of original sin. Man is perfectible. If we just pass enough laws, if we just have enough rules and regulations, everybody's going to be wonderful. It's going to be all good. But those of us who realize that the kind of laws we need are the laws that constrain government from having too much power over us, sharply disagree with Austin Gelder and the staff that she employs at the Arkansas Times. Here's more. The rule from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is set to take effect this month. It would close what's known as the gun show loophole, which has long allowed people who aren't gun shop owners or otherwise officially in the firearms business to sell guns willy-nilly. For those of you under 50 years old, willy-nilly is a phrase that people used to use before you were born, which has long allowed people who aren't gun shop owners or otherwise officially in the firearms business to sell guns willy-nilly to whomever they want, no questions asked, and no background checks required. Nearly a quarter of gun sales happen off the books like this. Now, wait. From whence cometh this assertion? What is the source of her allegation that nearly a quarter of gun sales happen off the books like this? Well, I'm here to tell you. She links to the Everytown folks. Oh, yeah. She links to an article by a gun-grabbing organization called Everytown for Gun Safety, which was begun by billionaire former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg 10 years ago in an attempt to counter the influence of Second Amendment rights organizations like the National Rifle Association and Gun Owners of America. And she reflexively accepts what Everytown says. You know? This is the same Everytown organization that wants you to think that if you want to stop school shootings, like the one 10 years ago at Sandy Hook, not 12 years ago, pardon me, at Sandy Hook in Newtown, Massachusetts, all you need to do is take more guns away from law-abiding gun owners. Now, speaking of Sandy Hook in Newtown, there's an irony there. Not everything Bill Clinton did was bad. Most of it was, but not everything. So there was a federal law passed when Bill Clinton was in office to fund cops in schools. And Sandy Hook was one of the schools that used to have cops. Used to have like a, even though it was an elementary school, had a school resource officer who was armed. And that had gone away a few years before the shooting there. But that's a whole other show. Nearly a quarter of gun sales happen off the books like this. Why? By the way, I looked at the Everytown article, it said 22%. And you're just supposed to believe that because Everytown said, well, we did a study on that. Oh, okay. So the editor of the Arkansas Times, the liberal rag, Austin Gelder, continues saying, Malinowski was killed in a shootout with ATF agents raiding his home in a West Little Rock neighborhood in the pre-dawn hours of March 19th. A shootout. I often wonder why the liberal mainstream media insists on using the word shootout. I interviewed the Malinowski family's attorney, Bud Cummins, last Thursday. If you missed the interview, you really want to go to DocWashburn.com and check it out. When I asked him why the mainstream media insists on continuing to use the term shootout, he said he didn't know because obviously all of the available evidence thus far suggests that when the ATF agents broke down Malinowski's door, waking him and his wife out of a sound sleep and never identifying themselves, as he's trying to get the cobwebs out of his brain and the sleep out of his eyes, all he knows to do is to grab the gun on the bedside table and put some bullets in it and go out in the hallway and try to figure out what's going on. And he said, we have no idea who shot first. We do know that whatever he shot was aimed at people's feet, giving one the impression that he just thought whoever's doing the home invasion probably didn't know that there were people in the home, and he wanted to know them to know there were people in the home, just some warning shots to their feet in an attempt to encourage them to leave. And it's pitch black, so I don't know. Maybe they had the infrared stuff to see in the dark. But they put bullets in his skull. Is what they did. But oddly, that doesn't seem to matter to Austin Gelder, editor of the Arkansas Times. Her article continues, Malinowski was suspected of, quote, straw purchasing, unquote, guns from federally licensed dealers and then selling them to people he met at gun shows. Now, you know, the first I ever heard about straw purchasing guns from federally licensed dealers and then selling them to people, other folks, was back during the Obama administration when under the oversight of Attorney General Eric Holder, there was the Fast and Furious scandal down in the Southwest U.S. And people were feds were straw purchasing guns or allowing the straw purchasing of guns from gun stores in New Mexico and Arizona, and the guns were turning up in the hands of the cartels in Mexico, and they killed a lot of people. I'm just double-checking, and you don't have to answer me on the air, but Producer Aaron, is there any evidence that the ATF did a pre-dawn raid at the home of former Attorney General Eric Holder for the straw purchases? No, I didn't think so. So why Malinowski? Because Eric Holder was doing this on a much grander scale. See, these are the kinds of questions that someone like Austin Gelder, editor of the Arkansas Times, will never ask because A, she has a narrative to push, and B, as my good friend Scott Gray once said, look, Doc, you're going to have a hard enough time trying to get a liberal from point A to point B. You're never going to be able to get him to point C. Good luck. Mentally, they aren't equipped. They aren't prepared to go there. Austin Gelder, Arkansas Times, in her smearing of the dearly departed Brian Malinowski, continues, he did not have a license to deal firearms. Ms. Gelder, if I may. He also wasn't breaking the law. She continues, since his death, Malinowski has become a cause celeb among certain conservatives, mostly white men, who seem newly galvanized against government overreach and brutality at law enforcement's hand. Mostly white men. Well, if it's mostly white men that are concerned that Brian Malinowski was apparently murdered in cold blood by a federal agency, then not to worry. Not to worry at all. Anything mostly white men are concerned about can be discounted. Because Austin Gelder, who appears to be a mostly white female, apparently has some sort of antipathy to mostly white men. Do I have this right? Because if not, then why does she put it that way? Know what I'm saying, Holmes? If there's not something wrong with mostly white men, then what's the issue? A newly galvanized concern against government overreach and brutality at law enforcement's hand? No, we've been kind of concerned about that for a long time. See, we remember what the ATF did in Waco over 30 years ago. They didn't have to kill all those people. That religious nut in charge of the Branch Davidians would go jog down lonely two-lane country roads by himself. They could have picked him up anytime they wanted to. He'd go into Waco, go to Sam's Club by himself. Newly galvanized? Look, Ms. Gelder, if I may, look, just because you're not paying attention doesn't mean that you can just create reality for the rest of us. That's not how it works. She continues, Malinowski is far from the first person to have been shot and killed after firing on officers in his own home. You don't know who shot first, Ms. Gelder. You don't know. I had Bud Cummins on this show last Thursday night, and I asked him, because the theory he is going with at the time is that Malinowski shot at the feet of these shadowy figures in the dark just to try to warn them, hey, I'm here, you need to go away. I said, well, how do we know that they didn't shoot first and whatever shots he got off were aimed at people's feet because it was a reflex action as he was falling to the floor after having already been hit? And Bud Cummins said, we don't know that. That's a perfectly plausible theory. That could have been exactly what happened. They're not wearing body cams. We have no evidence. We hope there'll be whistleblowers. There's nothing in the law to keep them from coming out and saying what happened. But again, Austin Gelder, editor of the Arkansas Times, is a card-carrying trademark liberal mainstream media hack, in my humble opinion, and you're entitled to it. And as far as she is concerned, Brian Malinowski is dead because he must have fired first. That's her story, and she's sticking to it. But I digress. She goes on, but his case is unusual because he's well-connected, well-to-do, and white. Well, not anymore. He may have been well-connected. He may have been well-to-do. He may have been white, but not anymore. She's speaking in the present tense. I'm just wondering if she's having a little difficulty here. I'm just wondering if she's being disoriented about the present tense versus the past tense. He certainly was well-connected, well-to-do, and white until about 6 a.m. the morning of Tuesday, March 19th. She writes in a very odd way, if I may. She continues, police have shot and killed over 1,100 people across the U.S. within the past 12 months, according to a Washington Post database. All right, now, notice that she doesn't seem interested in how many of the people shot and killed by police across the U.S. in the past 12 months definitely shot first or definitely committed violence and weren't stopping. She has no interest whatsoever in how many of these police shootings, officer-involved shootings, is what they call them, were definitely self-defense on the part of the officer or were to save the life of someone else. No. I'll never forget now. Since we're in the middle of the NBA playoffs, the cop in Ohio who shot the black female teenager, and LeBron James tweeted out that his day was coming. Something like it's going to be his turn next. Only to delete the tweet when he found out that the white cop was actually saving the life of another black female teenager. That the first one had a knife on and was getting ready to shove it in her midsection. But see, LeBron James is a card-carrying liberal, just like Austin Gelder, editor of the Arkansas Times. So that doesn't matter. They don't want police officers shooting anybody, no matter what the other person is doing. Apparently, I mean, what other conclusion can I come to? By the way, I've been remiss in my duty. If you would like to get on the program, if you'd like to join the conversation, the number, of course, area code 501, because we are in Central Arkansas, 823-0965. Now, Austin Gelder finally gets around to saying this gem. Current law doesn't specify how many guns one can sell before needing to obtain a federal firearms license. The new rule would make it more clear. But it is also far more strict. Okay, wait. The new rule would make it more clear how many guns you'd have to sell to be required to obtain a federal firearms license, but it's also more strict? Duh! I mean, she's like a caricature of herself. Federal officials estimate 23,000 additional dealers will have to be licensed under the new rule. That means these dealers will have to conduct background checks on their buyers. See, I can't see that in the Second Amendment anywhere. Your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Tim Griffin said Wednesday that current law is not clear enough, but he certainly doesn't seem to like the clearer, stricter requirements laid out in the Biden administration's new rule, which was drafted to support the Safer Communities Act. Again, the Safer Communities Act was pushed by the gun control organizations that don't want safer communities. They just want it to be more difficult for you to be able to protect and defend yourself. That's it. That's it. Unfreaking believable. But I'm not through. Austin Gelder continues. The bipartisan gun control effort was signed into law in June 2022 to address the United States' ghoulish gun violence epidemic. Predictably, conservatives are pushing back. No. It was not signed in law in June of 2022 to address the United States' ghoulish gun violence epidemic. If they had wanted to actually pass a law to address the United States' ghoulish gun violence epidemic, they would have passed a law to hold prosecutors accountable for ignoring violent crime, to hold the DOJ accountable for ignoring people who violate the gun laws already on the books. They would have passed a law making it impossible for foreign billionaires like George Soros to fund the political campaigns of prosecutors in big cities who vowed to get rid of cash bail and who look the other way at violent crime. That's how we should address the United States ghoulish gun violence epidemic. You know, somebody once said, insanity is the art of continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And these libs continue to do the same thing over and over again. And don't tell me they're actually trying to reduce the rate of violent crime in this country, because they're not. Let me tell you about a lady named Susanna Gracia Hupp. Now, over 30 years ago, she and her mom and dad were eating a late lunch at a Luby's cafeteria, I want to say Killeen Temple, Texas, somewhere right around there. And a deranged maniac drove his big old pickup truck through the plate glass window, jumped out, and started shooting people. And she reached in her purse because she's going to shoot back. And then she realized, okay, wait. Unfortunately, yeah, 1991 shooting in Killeen, Texas at Luby's cafeteria. And then she realized, oh my goodness, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm a good girl. I wouldn't want to break the law by having my gun here in my purse so I could protect and defend my family. I have it safely put away in the trunk of my car. And before she knew it, her dad had been mortally wounded by gunfire. And she's telling Mama, look, we need to get out of here. But Mama said, you go along. I can't leave your father. So both of her parents were murdered. And so Susanna Gracia Hupp ran for state legislature in Texas, got elected, and changed the law that you can conceal carry all over the place in Texas because people should be able to protect and defend themselves and their loved ones. And for that matter, anybody else. Now, a lot of people listening to the sound of my voice know about that story, but I've got a little twist that you might not know about. Between the time of that mass shooting at that Luby's cafeteria in Killeen, Texas, and the time 6 years later that she got elected to the Texas State Legislature, she was invited to go to Washington, D.C. and to testify in front of a committee And you'll never guess who was on that committee listening to every word she said. A guy who is a big Democrat leader in the Senate now, but he was still in the House then, Chuck Schumer. So Chuck Schumer doesn't have any excuse to push for gun control because he knows better. He heard exactly what happened to a family. Susanna Grasha Hupp's mom and dad, who were the victims of the government policies that he continues to push to this day. The victim of the government policies that every town and Moms Demand answers continue to push to this day. So I just need to tell you about that. But there's plenty more. There's plenty more. I'm just getting started. I'm just scratching the surface. I am so furious with the outrageous prevarications of the editor of the Arkansas Times. More coming up in just a second here on the Doc Washburn Show. 101.1 The Answer. There's an old song called You Find Out Who Your Friends Are. And when I was fired by a former employer in October 2021 because I wouldn't go along with their COVID vaccine mandate, I sure found out who my friends are. A buddy of mine called me and said, hey, Mitch Ward over at Red River Auto asked me if it'd be okay if I gave him your cell number. I said, sure. Next thing I knew, I was meeting with Mitch Ward, owner of Red River Dealerships in Cabot, Malvern, and Heber Springs. He told me he wanted to advertise on my podcast. He wanted to support me. Man, that got my attention. So when I was rear-ended a couple of months later on Colonel Glenn Road by a guy who didn't even tap his brake and my car was totaled, where do you think I went to get my next car? That was easy. Red River. Check them out at redriverauto.com. Better yet, go see them at their lot in Cabot and tell them Doc Washburn sent you. RedRiverAuto.com. Now, a few months ago, my wife and I found out our daughter had lost so much weight, she was down to just 94 pounds. She got nauseous no matter what she tried to eat. She had to quit work because she got dizzy just trying to stand up. Her doctor had told her, you got a hiatal hernia. Go on home. Nothing we can do to help you. I told my wife, if we didn't do something ourselves to try to help her, she's going to die. So we took our daughter to see our friend Dr. J.R. Crabtree at the Arkansas Upper Cervical Center, and he did help her. And she stopped getting nauseous when she ate, and she started gaining weight, and she's back at work. What Dr. Crabtree does, the best-kept secret in American healthcare. Let me explain. Your skull weighs somewhere between 8 and 15 pounds. It rests on the top bone of your spinal column, the atlas, which only weighs 2 ounces. If that atlas bone gets out of alignment, your whole spinal column could get kinked up like a chain. When that happens, your central nervous system can't send out the signals to different parts of your body, as God designed it to do. Dr. Crabtree takes x-rays of your head and neck to find out if your atlas is out of alignment. If it is, he gets it back in line, and he saved our daughter's life. To find out more, go to the website, turnmypoweron.com. Last but not least, I'm proud to have Colonel Conrad Reynolds, and AVII is a sponsor of the Doc Washburn Show. AVII is the America Voter Integrity Initiative. In Arkansas, we have a real problem with the way we vote. The touchscreen voting computers cannot be trusted. The cybersecurity experts and voting experts that Congress calls on all agree we need hand-marked paper ballots that are filled out in person at the local precinct. The experts also agree electronic tabulators cannot be blindly trusted to be accurate when counting our votes. They all agree that there must be a hand count audit of all races before an election is certified. Why have the citizens of Arkansas never been asked if they wanted to use voting computers? Did you know that a recent Rasmussen poll showed that nearly 60% of all Arkansans want hand-marked paper ballots? To find out more about what you can do, visit the website avii.org. Colonel Reynolds and AVII are working hard to restore trust, transparency, accountability, and accuracy to Arkansas elections. Remember to visit avii.org.
Friends, make sure and listen to this week's Louisiana Hayride program. good old American toe-tapping fun with your host, Alec Guinness. This week's musical guests include Mario Lanza, Ma and Pa Kettle, Screaming Mimis, Whirling Dervishes, Norm Crosby, Rocky Marciano, and the Hungarian National Orchestra. That's the Louisiana Hayride with your host, Yogi Berra. Now back to Doc Adams and Gunsmoke, brought to you by America's favorite food, a dozen boxes of donuts. Buy them for your family at your local market and have them deliver a plentiful supply to this radio station. Donuts for America.
One hundred 1.1, The Answer, Doc Washburn Show. I tell you what, if the editor of the Arkansas Times wants to go to bat and try to rip up our Attorney General Tim Griffin for standing up for our Second Amendment rights, if she wants to go to bat and try to smear the reputation of a good man, Brian Malinowski, who was murdered by federal agents, in my opinion, then I'm going to go to bat against her, and that's what we're doing right now. That's what we're doing right now. Let's continue this article entitled Arkansas AG Tim Griffin Sues to Keep Gun Show Loophole Open, with a nod to Brian Malinowski. Griffin is heading up a 21-state coalition suing the Biden administration over the policy. Now, I'm surprised. I didn't realize. I thought he had just signed on to something that another state attorney general was heading up, and he was one of the 21. He's heading it up. That's fantastic. Look, you got to give him respect for that. Griffin said the new rule was not authorized by Congress as it should be, but proposed by the ATF and adopted after a public comment period. Yeah, that's right. See, here's the thing people aren't thinking about. When the Biden administration, and by the Biden administration, I mean, of course, whoever the puppet master is, because you know as well as I do that Biden's not running a show. When they announce this, they're not saying, hey, Chuck Schumer's going to run a bill through the U.S. Senate, and we're going to get it passed in the Senate, and we'll peel off two or three Republicans in the House, and we'll get it on Biden's desk and sign this new law. Oh, no, 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 no. No, they want to be king. They want to be emperor. So that's what this is all about. Griffin said Wednesday in his press conference, Congress has never passed into law the ATF's dramatic new expansion of firearms dealer license requirements, and President Biden cannot unilaterally impose them. This lawsuit is just the latest instance of my colleagues in other states and me having to remind the president that he must follow the law. And by the way, since Arkansas Times editor Austin Gelder was acting like there's something wrong with white men a little bit ago, you look at her Facebook page. She's married to a white guy. Does she hate him too? You look at her Facebook page, and again, trademark liberal, she thinks it's just fine to kill unborn babies. That's just fine. Oh, the hypocrisy. But I digress. Her article continues. The lawsuit couches the gun show loophole as a means by which communities of friends and family have been able to share their gun collections. It couches it that way? I mean, that's true. The lawsuit says that closing the gun show loophole would put innocent firearm sales between law-abiding friends and family members within the reach of federal regulation. Yeah, that's true. And at least she links to the 52-page complaint in which Tim Griffin is one of 21 state attorneys general signing on. Griffin suggested Malinowski may well have been the victim of unclear gun laws. Oh, yeah. You suggesting that he wasn't Ms. Arkansas Times editor? Griffin said Mr. Malinowski was a frequent attendee of gun shows and collected firearms, which is not illegal. True. Now, for whatever reason, the ATF believed that he has somehow met the nebulous, somewhat subjective standard of what constitutes a federal firearms dealer and what doesn't. And we know what happened after that with the raid and ultimately his death. Every word of that is true. Every word of that is true. But Austin Gelder, editor of the Arkansas Times, can't just let that sit there. She said what Griffin neglected to mention is that Malinowski is reported to have shot at federal agents first. Reported to. Ms. Gelder, did you ask the widow who shot first? Did you ask the widow if Mr. Malinowski had a reasonable assumption that these are federal law enforcement instead of just somebody doing a home invasion before 6 a.m.? You don't care, do you? You just don't care. Well, Griffin neglected to mention that Malinowski is reported to have shot at federal agents first, and that the whole reason the ATF was there in the first place was because they had documented evidence of, quote, straw purchasing, unquote, by Malinowski, none of which was against the law. Did they do a pre-dawn raid of former Attorney General Eric Holder? And if I may, Ms. Gelder, why didn't they go to the office? Why did they want to give Malinowski and his now widow the impression that it's a home invasion? You couldn't care less about that, could you, Ms. Gelder? Why? Because it's tribal. Because your team is winning. Because you have no principles. The article continues. He bought guns that he claimed and federally required paperwork were for himself, then turned around and sold them off the books, according to an affidavit accompanying the ATF search warrant. Okay, how many? How many? How many? How many, Ms. Gelder? You don't know, do you? Here's some points in the affidavit that tend to get left out by Malinowski's defenders. One, Malinowski had purchased at least 150 guns over the past 3 years. Okay, so how many do you have to purchase to be legally required to get a federal firearms license, Ms. Gelder? You don't know, do you? Because the law doesn't say, does it? Number two from the affidavit. One gun Malinowski bought in April 2022 was found during a traffic stop just 15 days later in the possession of a felon who was not legally allowed to buy guns. The person said he'd bought it from Malinowski at a gun show at the state fairgrounds. But did Malinowski break a law there, Ms. Gelder? Nope. Number three. Other guns the airport director purchased from licensed dealers were recovered by law enforcement at crime scenes. Months later, some of the possession of people who bought them from Malinowski and off-the-book sales. But here's some points you're ignoring, Ms. Gelder. When you talk about a crime scene, you talk about a traffic stop in which the cop discovers weed on the guy he pulled over. That's your crime scene, Ms. Gelder. But you don't want your listeners, your readers, to know that, do you? No, of course you don't. Because you don't give people information for free any more than anybody else does. You want to do something with it. In March of this year, Malinowski set up a table at Arkansas Gun Show and offered for sale a gun he had bought from a licensed dealer 4 days earlier. That sale would have required Malinowski sign the pledge that he was purchasing the firearm for his own use. Did he break a law, Ms. Gelder? Next point from the affidavit. Malinowski sold a brand new, still-in-the-box pistol to an undercover officer at a gun show, suggesting that he did not, in fact, purchase that pistol for his own personal use. Oh, okay. So he was murdered. Bullets drilled into his skull because of a suggestion, Ms. Gelder? Malinowski sold a brand new still-in-the-box pistol to an undercover officer at a gun show, suggesting that he did not, in fact, purchase that pistol for his own personal use. You know, Ms. Gelder, there have been a lot of suggestions. We all make suggestions all the time. Should federal agents be allowed to break our door down and shoot us in the head because of suggestions, Ms. Gelder? If the answer is yes, then there's a bullseye on you and me, Ms. Gelder, because we all have been subject to suggestions at one time or another. Last but not least, next point from the affidavit that Ms. Gelder is upset. The Second Amendment fans won't look at. Malinowski agreed to sell guns to people unknown to him under a cash, no paper policy. Again, did he break a law, Ms. Gelder? He didn't, and you know he didn't. She says, the list above is not exhaustive. You can read the affidavit yourself here. She links to the affidavit. Oh, almost at the end of the article, she says, of course, an affidavit is a set of allegations, not a conviction. Well, wouldn't it be nice if that was true de facto, Ms. Gelder? But the ATF acted as judge, jury, and executioner, didn't they, Ms. Gelder? It's awfully nice of you. Since you've already disparaged white males, I'll say it's mighty white of you, Ms. Gelder. Since you and your husband are quite Caucasian, to admit at long last that an affidavit is a set of allegations, not a conviction. Thank goodness, right at the end of the article, she says, and there are legitimate questions about how the ATF conducted its raid. The whole story may be hard to come by. A statement from the ATF to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, as well as information from people involved in the Malinowski case, indicate the agents who conducted the raid at Malinowski's house were not wearing body cameras due to budgetary constraints. No possible way. Budgetary constraints. Hey, with all due respect, Ms. Gelder, I mean, I got your budgetary constraints right here. What do you mean budgetary constraints? What is this statement you're talking about to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette? Is that some kind of breaking news that you're trying to slyly slip in here right at the end? If you want me to think, because now think about it, the ATF is under the DOJ, right? And I'm old enough to remember, in December of 2022, when a bunch of senators and representatives passed a $1.67 trillion spending bill, which included hundreds of millions more for the DOJ, and you're telling me there's spending constraints? I'm not buying what you're selling, ma'am. I'm absolutely not buying what you're selling. I'm sorry, that does not pass the smell test. This is absurd. But she twists herself into a pretzel to try to... Okay, she links to the DemGaz here. And this article from a couple of days ago. There's no timetable for when the Pulaski County Prosecutor's Office will make a decision about the officer involved shooting that ended in Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport, Adams Field Airport Executive Director Brian Manowski's death, according to Will Jones, Pulaski County Prosecuting Attorney. Yeah, I don't doubt it. but spending constraints? No, I'm sorry. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that at all. And you shouldn't either. She says, but unless the affidavit that sent ATF agents into Malinowski's house that fateful morning turns out to be more bogus than not, perhaps the gun rights set should think about finding themselves a cleaner poster boy. You presented no evidence that he broke any laws, and you certainly presented no evidence of any concern you might have that the ATF violated a clear executive order from Joseph Robinette Biden by not even wearing body cams. You presented no concern whatsoever that the ATF could have avoided any kind of violence just by dropping by the office or pulling Malinowski over on the side of Chenal Parkway. You couldn't care less. You don't care any more about the death of this innocent man than you care about the babies that are torn apart in the womb by abortion. Why am I not surprised, Ms. Gelder, ye who slam people for being white males, something they have no control over, and yet you're married to one. Ms. Gelder, you got some serious issues. I'm thankful that by the grace of God, somehow the Malinowski family wound up with a really good attorney named Bud Cummins. And I'm also thankful my friend Jay Greeland, who used to write the Sweet Tea column in the Demgaz, has a great column over at Substack called Arkansas Monitor, and he keeps on breaking news about this case. You ought to check it out. Now, if you didn't hear the whole show and you want to hear it, check it out at DocWashburn.com. It'll be up shortly. I'm Doc Washburn. See you tomorrow night at 6:06, 101.1 The Answer.